The season of Lent is a time of prayer, penance, and sacrifice. In fact, the Church herself imposes the penance of fast and abstinence for 40 days. And the reason she does so is to prepare us for the most solemn week of the liturgical year, and that is Holy Week, culminating with the sufferings and death of our Savior on Good Friday. Thus, this is a time to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves, as I begin this Lenten season and acknowledge all that Christ has done for me, the fact that he loves me and died on the cross for me, I must ask myself, where do I stand in the eyes of God? Do I show the same love for him? Am I practicing virtue, avoiding the occasions of sin, and striving to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? Well, in the Gospel for the Mass of the Friday after Ash Wednesday, our Lord says to his disciples, "You have heard that it has been said, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For if you love them that love you, what reward shall you have?" And our Lord says, "Be therefore perfect, as also your Heavenly Father is perfect." Now, just a little background as to why our Lord said, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." This saying was not part of Jewish religion. In other words, it was not in the law of the Old Testament, but was said by the scribes who interpreted the law. For the scribes, because they found in the Old Testament book of Leviticus in chapter 19 the words, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor," inferred, "Thou shalt hate thine enemy." The Hebrew word for neighbor means associate, friend, or neighbor. By friend or neighbor, they understood, that is, the scribes understood, a person of the same locality or nation. That is, a Jew descended like them from Abraham and Jacob, as though only the Jews should be loved by the Jews, while other nations, especially the Canaanites, their worst enemies, should be hated, which is obviously wrong. And therefore, our Lord corrects this interpretation and explains the law. By neighbor or friend is meant every man, even a foreigner, a Gentile, and an enemy. For all men are neighbors through their first forefather Adam, and as his descendants are thus brethren. We are also brethren through our second father, Christ, through whom we have been born again and, as it were, created anew in the likeness of God and called to the common inheritance of God, our Father in heaven. Well, this evening I would like to give you some food for thought, so to speak, about making a Lenten resolution or following through with the one you've already formulated, keeping in mind that a Lenten resolution does not necessarily mean that you have to give something up. It could also mean putting something into practice, doing something for Lent. In other words, giving something up for Lent or putting something into practice can be a form of self-denial that is beneficial to our souls and helps us on the path to heaven. And so this evening I'm going to briefly discuss the quality of charity called forgiveness and how it is a Christian virtue that ought to be practiced and perhaps considered as a Lenten resolution. In regard to loving our enemies, which our Lord so emphatically enforces in today's Gospel, St. John Chrysostom gives 9 degrees of forgiveness and love of enemy. He says the first degree in loving our enemy is that you do not begin the enmity. That is, that you do not seek to quarrel with someone. The second, that you do not continue it after it has begun. If an argument begins between you and another, find a way to meekly settle it. Resolve it quickly but amicably. St. John Chrysostom says that the third way is that you repay not like for like, but yield. In other words, do not seek revenge for a wrongdoing. The fourth, that you advance yourself to bear the insults, that you make an excuse for the bullish behavior of others. The fifth, that you offer more than the offender demands. The sixth, that you do not hate him by whom you suffer. The seventh, that you love him who offends you. The eighth, that you willingly bestow benefits upon him. And the ninth, that you even pray to God for your enemy. Do this, St. John Chrysostom says, and you will follow Jesus, who even on the cross loved his enemies and prayed for them. Forgiveness is a big part of loving your enemy. Forgiveness is a quality that stems from the virtue of charity. It is the readiness to pardon those who offend us. But if one has a lack of a forgiving spirit, it is a sign of hard-heartedness. But we, of course, have the ultimate example of forgiveness by our Lord as he hung on the cross, as I mentioned, for he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not only did he ask for forgiveness, but he made an excuse for them. He said, they do not know what they are doing. And this, after having been nailed to the cross, after having been scourged and crowned with thorns, he had been brutally tortured, he had been mocked and spit upon. Yet he asked God to forgive those very men who had caused so many torments. He asked God to forgive the Romans and the Jews, and he asked God to forgive us. He did this because he truly wanted his Heavenly Father to mercifully forgive us. And he also wanted to set for us an example. As God forgave his enemies, so should we. For if we are merciful, if we show mercy to others, God will show us mercy. This is what we pray in the Our Father when we say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, if we hold a grudge or refuse to show mercy or forgiveness to someone, we are, in a certain sense, condemning ourselves each time we pray the Our Father. When we say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, we are saying to God, with whatever mercy I show others, or with whatever severity I show others, I ask you to judge me in like manner. Thus, they are very serious words that we pray and are not to be taken lightly. Now, we must remember that our forgiveness must not be in word only. It must come from the heart. When we have sincerely forgiven someone, we treat the person as if the offense never happened, almost as if we forget what was done or said. And by forgetting, I mean not allowing the memory of the injury done to you allow you to grow angry. That is true forgiveness. And so rather than avoiding the person, we must actually go out of our way to be kind to the one who has offended us. We must even pray for those who offend us. For as I mentioned earlier, our Lord willingly forgave his enemies as he hung dying on the cross. And so let us pray for those who hurt us. In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said to love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who persecute you. What better way to show true forgiveness than to pray for the one who has offended us? Let us then, my dear friends, put into practice this readiness to forgive and be mindful of our Lord's words, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let us overcome any grudges by treating with kindness those who offend us and by praying for them. The practice of charity, my dear friends, the ready willingness to forgive others, to bear patiently with others, is a sure sign of your love for God. So consider putting this virtue into practice, bearing in mind the words of St. John Chrysostom, who, referring to the love of enemy in practicing forgiveness, said, do this, and you will follow Jesus, who even on the cross loved his enemies and prayed for them. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.